News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I know my rent was going to be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but I still can't pay it though. But I got just enough.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. Andrew is out of town, either for the 4th of July to celebrate, or rumor does have it, he is the troubled juror in the Diddy case in New York, and he is trying to get kicked off the jury so he can get back in town for the fireworks show and Blue Angels next week. But I guess we'll have to wait and find out till Andrew's back on the air what exactly happened in that jury deliberation room. So I want to welcome you back to the show. We've made it through an hour, just three more left. So one thing I wanted to touch on this morning is that the state just released their FAST assessment scores for the school districts. So this is, I always remember it as the FCAT when I was growing up here in public schools, went kindergarten through 12th grade in Escambia County Public Schools. And this is the big end of the year test, the FAST assessment that all the public school kids take in reading and math. And Escambia County saw some real growth this year across the board, which is exciting. I know Superintendent Leonard and the school board have been working very hard to, you know, all year to ensure that this has happened. And so we just find out now that, you know, we've got about a 3-point jump in the math scores here in Escambia County and around a 4-point jump in the English language arts. Not overly large, but in this, you know, realm of testing, this is a still a meaningful movement that we've seen some improvements, especially considering that, you know, we've still been kind of trying to get over that COVID hump that we had from a few years ago. And it really takes a while for these schools to bounce back from when they lose points and lose percentages at these schools for these school grades. The sixth graders especially did really, really well here in Escambia County with their English language arts scores. Sixth grade jumped up to 68% proficiency, which was up from the low 60s of last year. And then math just came in right under 60% proficiency, which again is up from the previous years. And after, again, the COVID years, we saw this huge, you know, slowdown where parents maybe were keeping kids home from school. We did open schools back fairly quickly here in Florida. And but again, it's good to see that we're going in the right direction, that the school district is, you know, working hard to improve these scores and really do the best they can in the classrooms. And we've got a lot of teachers out there that do a lot of great work in making sure that they're doing their very best job in the classroom to help these kids out. So, you know, I think, especially now with the voucher program that the state has, allowing for parents to increase choice, which I think is a good thing. It certainly is being more competitive for the public school system, not only here in Escambia County, but across the state. And it, you know, we're seeing enrollment in school districts across the state and here in Escambia County for public schools decreasing. So, you know, we're going to, I think, see some creative ideas from the school district, the public school district, on how to combat that and to keep enrollment up, because the money, you know, follows that child to where they go to school. So if you got private schools that accept the voucher, that'll reduce the tuition for these parents at the school, and that money's taken away from the public school to follow that child to that private school. So you know, the school district's got some battles, but again, it's good to see that even through all that we're still making progress. We're headed in the right direction. And it may not be, you know, leaps and bounds. It may not be where we think we should be as a school district. But, you know, the news is that we're heading in the right direction. And you know, let's take a win where we get a win. So we'll dive deeper into that when we get back. We're going to go to PJ for traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks, Walker. We do have a road closure this morning at Navarre Parkway at Coral Street. There is standing water on the road, so that has caused that closure. History of the Blues is presented by Calvert's in the Heights.
In 1971, the Blue Angels celebrated their silver anniversary. It had been 25 years since Butch Forrest and his men flew the very first flight demonstration of the Blue Angels. With war raging in Vietnam, the Blue Angels went on a six-week deployment to the Far East. Their crossing of the Pacific Ocean was made possible by air-to-air refueling of the jets. They performed 11 air shows in Korea, Taiwan, Japan, Guam, and the Philippines. Upon their return to the United States, they held a postseason reunion show with the Air Force Thunderbirds at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. Undeniably, the worst year for the Blue Angels was 1973, when accidents plagued the team all season. The troubles began when winter training was interrupted by a mid-air collision of three of the four Diamond demonstration planes at El Centro. Although all three pilots ejected safely, Commander Donald Bentley, who flew the number one jet, was hospitalized with a back injury and could not continue with the Blues. Lieutenant Commander Skip Umstead, who had flown solo for the team from 1970 to 1972, was called back to lead the team. Training was resumed, and soon the Blue Angels were ready to fly. After eight stateside performances, the Blue Angels headed across the Atlantic on a four-week tour of Europe. Their 14 shows were flown throughout England, France, Spain, Italy, Turkey, and Iran. Less than 3 weeks after their return to the United States, an accident would claim a plane, but not the pilot. At a show in Lake Charles, Louisiana, Lieutenant Steve Lambert was flying an inverted pass in his number 5 jet about 100 feet above the runway. He suddenly lost power, but was able to flip his plane right side up before it hit the ground and bounced off the runway. He ejected moments before the plane burst into flames. 3 weeks later, while performing arrival maneuvers over the flight line in Lakehurst, New Jersey, two planes collided and Lieutenant Commander Umstead was killed along with two other Blue Angels, slot pilot Captain Mike Murphy and crew chief Ronald Thomas. As a result of that accident, the remaining 4 months of the season were canceled. An investigation was launched, and some high-ranking officials were calling for the total abolition of the team. But after several months of deliberation, the decision was made to continue with the Blue Angels, this time as a full Navy squadron. The main reason given was the great importance the Navy placed on the Blue Angels' mission. I'll be back with more after this.
Are you looking for a unique restaurant experience? It's Calvert's in the Heights, a one-of-a-kind English-themed restaurant and pub with stunning views of Escambia Bay. Enjoy delicious cuisine from British fare to American bar foods to fresh home-cooked meals, or stop into the pub for a great selection of beers, liquors, and wines. You'll find it all at Calvert's. Don't miss the Red, White, and Blues Watch Party, Saturday, July 12th, 10:30 till 3. Replace the heat and traffic with cold AC and frosty drinks and the Blue Angels air show on the big screen. Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway.
The Blue Angels team says goodbye to the F-4 Phantom, and the Blue Angels squadron says hello to the A-4 Skyhawk in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air tomorrow, 9:30. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on 92.3. We're going to start the segment off and go into David Wade in the newsroom with the headlines. What we got, David? He will. There's no news, apparently. So we're all good, and we're going to keep. We'll get some news here shortly. Maybe when we come out of the next hour, so or half hour, but all good. So we're talking a little bit about the improvements that the Escambia County School District saw in their test scores, the FAST test scores. They showed improvement across all grades, third grade, 10th grade, and proficiency in math and reading. And, you know, math was up 3 points overall. English was up 4 points overall. And again, you know, mentioning a little bit about how we had such a dip after COVID and all the issues surrounding, you know, the pandemic with the school district and the things they had to go through. And we're continually trying to dig out of that hole that we were in. You know, the sixth graders, again, kind of leading the charge here, jumping their scores up to 64% for English and language arts. And then from 64%, sorry, to 68%. And math is up nearly 60% on proficiency. So that is, you know, pretty significant for above the district average, which was hovering somewhere in the mid-50s. And so Escambia County retained its state for a B rating as a school district, which is good. And, you know, obviously continuing to striving to get to an A school district like our neighbors to the east over in Santa Rosa County. And, you know, one of the big issues there was the Algebra 1 end of course exams for our high schoolers. Only about 36% of high school students passed this algebra end of course exam this year, compared to the middle schoolers who took them to school and took it early, and 85% of those students passed when they took the algebra, the class at those eighth graders. I remember taking Algebra 1 in Ferry Pass Middle School back in eighth grade as well. So this disparity, it's kind of a missing link with the algebra as the getaway to graduation, or the gateway to graduation in Florida, and the low pass rates can delay diplomas or needing to repeat even entire years if that's not passed. So that's certainly a big focus for the school district, are these Algebra 1 end of course exams, and really trying to help mitigate some of these issues and problems that, you know, the students are having with learning. And district officials are saying that they recognize this issue, and they're working to expand dual enrollment programs, that pushing strong early math, you know, avenues or options for these students. And it's a extremely high priority for these schools to start interventions on that this fall, as students get back into the classroom in August and carry on throughout the school year. So hopefully, you know, when we're sitting here in 12 months from now looking at these scores, we can really say that, you know, they've made some more progress. I know this is going to be a big, you know, hitter for the school district is in Algebra 1, and can really continue to see that growth with the reading scores that they have seen. One point that the school district took note of was the data surrounding equity. And so we saw a jump for Black students in Escambia County, improved their English language scores by about 5 points. And Hispanic students improved math scores by around 4 points. And then even our students with disabilities, they saw about a 4 point gain as well in math and English. And this is always a good sign that we're seeing across the board students making progress in kind of every, you know, subsect that we've got, that, you know, and all the data that breaks it down from the state. And but at the end of the day, you know, these groups of students still are scoring lower than their white counterparts, and so you know, there may be other factors of that. I know when I've talked with some school district board members or even the superintendent, it doesn't maybe come down so much to race, and it more comes down to poverty levels, and that's really how the school district likes to kind of approach this, that if a student is struggling at home or living in a poverty situation, doesn't matter, you know, what the color of their skin is, they're going to struggle. And so a lot of those schools kind of that we see a lower scores for or have low attendance record, it's because these students are living in low income areas, and so these principals at these schools really work hard to ensure that they're providing kind of extra services for these students, or really encouraging them to get to school, or putting in different programs where they can kind of break the classroom size down to really give these students the one-on-one instruction that they need. It is 6:26 now, so I missed it by a minute, but we'll get traffic on the fives with PJ.
All right, thanks, Walker. Looks like there's a hit-and-run crash at Jackson Street right near Shoemaker. They're saying the roadway is clear there. Then scrolling over to Navarre, still dealing with that road closure. Navarre Parkway at Coral Street due to standing water in the roadway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
All right, thanks, PJ. So again, you know, I think our public schools are heading in the right direction. I think being involved as much as you can, you know, we all pay for our school district in one way or the other, whether you're a property owner, it's most likely the largest portion of your property tax bill, or you're going to just buy anything here in town and you're paying your sales tax and you've got the half cent sales tax you're paying for schools. And so I think being involved, whether you've got, you know, children, grandchildren, nieces or nephews that are in the public school system, you are investing in the future of our community. And so, you know, making sure that your school board members know what your thoughts are on how our school district should operate, how they should best improve our scores that we see year over year is important. And I think that's one of those things in the public, you know, atmosphere I think folks kind of forget about is we certainly watch what's going on at the county commission. We certainly watch what the mayor and the city council are doing. And a lot of times if you don't have a child in public schools or a grandchild or, you know, niece, nephew, cousin, any of that, you may just forget about it and move on with your day. But the school district, I always want to plug this. I did this program for a few years. If you've got, you know, an hour a week that you could give up to volunteer, they do have a program where you can go and volunteer in any of the schools. They will partner you with a child in that school that may need help in reading or math or science or whatever it is, and you take an hour of your week to go to the school itself. That student actually, you'll stay there on campus with them and you know, help them out with homework, give them, you know, just a good mentor, somebody that can really you know, be an adult in their life that maybe isn't their parents or their grandparents, that's trying to help and show them that they're there to make sure that they're successful at the end of the day. You know, I enjoyed my time at a public school here in Escambia County and still have many great friends that I've made, lifelong friends, that some live here, some have moved off, that we call the Pensacola pilgrimage. You grew up here, you leave and come back a lot of times, but we did have some folks that left and I don't know they're ever coming back, but that's okay. That's part of life, right? So, you know, some positive signs out of the school district and seeing these scores go up again, I think making sure that you're involved following this stuff, regardless if you have a student in the school district, schools or not, is important, as again, we are all paying for it through our taxes and investing in the future of our community. And and so I think, you know, again, get involved as much as you can and encourage these young folks to that they've got a future out there, and we're all invested in it and we want to see them succeed. So good news out of that. We'll be back right after this break with more news.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The House could pass President Trump's big, beautiful bill as early as today after the Rules Committee teed it up for a chamber-wide vote overnight.
Just two House Republicans voted against reporting the bill out of the Rules Committee. Ralph Norman and Chip Roy, who have long expressed reservations over this bill that now totals some 940 pages. No Democrats voted to advance it. And, of course, the Republicans can only afford to lose three votes.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, Brian Koberger, due back in court today to formally plead guilty to murdering four Idaho college students in 2022.
We expect Brian Koberger will enter guilty pleas to all four counts of first-degree murder and that one count of felony burglary. He will waive his right to any appeal on these charges moving forward. There will be a sentencing date that will be set likely a month out from now.
Fox's Chandler Painter, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 75 degrees and cloudy skies here in Pensacola. As we approach the 4th of July weekend, the city of Pensacola reminding residents that despite a 2020 law that legalized fireworks on certain holidays across the state, shooting off fireworks in city limits is still illegal. The city encouraging folks to check out the professional fireworks shows in downtown Pensacola or on Pensacola Beach. A man that was wanted for the 2021 murder of Ernest Riggs Jr. in Fort Walton Beach has been captured in Mexico, now being extradited back to the United States to face charges. John William Salveo Saab was taken into custody in Puerto Vallarta after a four-year investigation by Okaloosa County officials and the U.S. Marshals. Salveo Saab is now awaiting extradition to the U.S., where he'll face charges. Officials at the University of West Florida say they've seen a big improvement in performance-based metrics in the last several years. Some of the improvements include the percent of employed graduates increasing from 74 to over 80%, median wages for graduates increasing to over $54,000. There have also been increases in retention and graduation rates at the university.
Because of these improvements, This year, we scored a 91, which puts us in the top three in the Florida university system.
And that's Provost Jeremy Cool, who tells News Radio the improvements are likely due to the university planning for improvements and says they've developed predictive methods to tell them when students need help so they can provide it early on. Meanwhile, he also says enrollment rates continue to improve with a 5% increase expected for this fall. Well, yesterday, President Trump toured Florida's alligator Alcatraz, and, well, he liked what he saw, so much so that he wants the original prison in San Francisco to be reopened.
This facility down in Florida is what I think should be the model for every single state. Go out there and help us partner to provide an opportunity to detain these individuals, to process them under due process, and get them out of our country as fast as possible.
And Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem spoke highly of the facility on Tuesday. Trump posted on social media, quote, "We're going to look into renovating and rebuilding the famous Alcatraz prison sitting high on the bay surrounded by sharks." Said there's already conceptual work underway for that facility. Speaking of President Trump, the big, beautiful bill headed back to the House today. It cleared the Senate yesterday. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz says every Democrat plans to vote against it.
We'll kick 16 million or more people off of their health care coverage, and over 3 million people will lose their food assistance.
And the bill renews tax cuts signed by Trump during his first term. The Congressional Budget Office says it'll add $3.3 trillion to the deficit over the next decade. Well, some new details out on that rescue at sea on a Disney cruise ship. The Broward Sheriff's Office is investigating just what happened on that Disney cruise ship Sunday when a five-year-old girl on the Disney Dream Cruise fell overboard from the fourth deck. Her father jumped in to save her. Crew members wound up rescuing both of them. Deputies said yesterday the girl was not being held when she fell. And they also said she was not sitting on the ledge. The deck has a protective barrier, but a passenger told CBS News that the girl climbed up on it while her parents were playing shuffleboard. The BSO says there didn't appear to be anything suspicious, but they are still investigating what happened. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I-10 and 110 are both looking good. That earlier road closure in Navarre Parkway at Coral Street, they've taken that off the board, so I guess the standing water issue has been resolved. Also not showing any signs of a slowdown in Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a chance of rain today, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. On Thursday, rain chances dropping out of the forecast, high near 93 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 73. For your 4th of July Friday, we are expecting some mostly sunny skies, high near 94. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 75 degrees, your next news at 7, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said, GoodRx, save you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200, $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household, and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx user compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3. It is good to be back. It's been a few months, but the rust is slowly wearing off of me over here. Trying to get back in the swing of things here on the air this morning. But one thing I wanted to bring to everyone's attention, you know, FDOT has been doing a lot of road work around town. They've been doing some repaving on 9th Avenue by the Publix there on 9th. They're doing some Bayou Boulevard and 12th Avenue in that area. They've been doing a lot of work on Garden Street and will continue to do a lot of work on Garden Street through early to the middle of 2027 there in downtown Pensacola. I think they're repaving and doing some sidewalk enhancements and pedestrian crosswalks there on Garden Street all the way from Pace Boulevard to the west and to the east where I-110 dumps down onto Garden Street there in downtown. So just want to make you aware of that. And then another one that is about to get going here soon is the I-110 resurfacing project. So they are going to resurface I-110, and they're going to put in, it's a $7.2 million project. It's not only repaving, but they're going to be upgrading the guardrails, lighting, signage, and working on some stormwater drainage issues that they've got there on I-10. They'll also repaint and refresh all of the lane markings across that corridor, and the construction thankfully will it'll run Sunday through Thursday nights, and it'll be between 8 p.m. at night to 6 in the morning. So if you're headed home you know, late from work or out to dinner early in the week, while this project's going on, you may, you know, run into some lane closures or a ramp closure as well. So you want to just kind of keep your eye out for that. And FDOT's going to work on rotating what zones they're working in so they don't have one area closed down, you know, too long. And it won't, you know, they've promised it's not going to shut down the entire interstate, I-110 there. So you still will be able to get back and forth. It just might be that we've got about, you know, we've got a couple lanes that are not accessible, or a ramp exit that maybe you're used to getting off at would be closed temporarily. And again, this is a Sunday night through Thursday night, 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. So, you know, if you're getting up and going to work in the morning, it'll be all open. And but just want to keep your eye out for that. And it's going to be a 6.3 mile long project. And again, doing some repaving and some upgrades there. You know, I've had some folks talk to me about, you know, this is kind of our entrance into downtown. And in, if you're driving around and you can safely take a peek around and really look at, you know, the interchange of I-110 and I-10 that they came in and made look so nice years ago, it needs some help. It needs, you know, pressure washed, some weeds taken out of the walls, and or maybe some new paint. So hopefully all that will get kind of wrapped up in this project and really make it look a little bit better as we're coming down I-110. And then again on Garden Street and some of these other road improvements they're doing around town. And, you know, we have so many state roads here in town. I know the mayor talks about it a lot, and the commissioners will talk about it. You know, you have an issue on Airport Boulevard, or you got an issue on 12th Avenue or Tippin or something on 9th Avenue. It's like so many portions of these roads that we use every day that we think of as local roads are really state roads, like Garden Street, you know, and there's another example of one. Portions of Bayfront Boulevard are a state road, and so those are, the state takes care of them, pays for them and all that, and there's not much that the city or county can do other than, you know, go to FDOT and ask for help. You know, they are very good at giving updates. So you can go to FDOT's website. You can just, you know, go to the Google machine, put in FDOT, and they will send you updates on these projects in your area, so you know when the closures are going to be occurring, so you can kind of plan for those if you travel that way. And we will go ahead and head to PGA for traffic on the fives and a few commercials.
All right. Thanks, Walker. This report is sponsored by Rapid Radios. Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies offering national LTE coverage. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off. Looking at the big board, vehicle crash at Pensacola Boulevard and Diamond Dairy Road. They are saying the roadway is clear.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know, for 55 years now, Peden has been helping people solve all kinds of problems to the complicated mechanical or semi-mechanical systems that are inside of their home. You know, plumbing, heating, air conditioning, electrical, the stuff that's just kind of difficult and it really takes an expert to repair. For more than 55 years, everywhere from Tallahassee all the way to Mobile, Fort Walton, Destin, Gulf Breeze, Jay, Pensacola, and everywhere in between. In fact, just last year, they expanded all the way to Mobile, so across the state lines. And one of the things they do is they'll show up on time, they'll be professional, they'll install high-quality products the right way the first time, and they will stand by that installation 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Now, it is warm, and it is getting warmer, and for this month, the deal is very simple. If you'd like to get a new air conditioning system because you're concerned about the real heat that's coming, $1,000 off any new air conditioning system right now. And special financing does apply. There are some restrictions, so you might want to ask about that. But get $1,000 off a new AC system right now with Peden. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. This Friday is the free Pensacola Fireworks, presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. At 7:30, be at Community Maritime Park for Pensacola Symphony's free Sparks and Stars concert, sponsored by Peter Muget and Pensacola State College. You can also listen to the symphony broadcast live at 7:30 right here on News Radio 92.3. Continue listening at 9 as the fireworks will be synchronized to the music presented by Penn Air Credit Union. Bring your radio and enjoy the 4th of July.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Bastille Day at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Restaurant Week, Jackson's and Julia, Ferragosto Celebration, and Great Southern Weekly Promos. All today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Great Milton Duck Race is Friday at the Milton Downtown Bridge starting at 5 o'clock. Proceeds benefit the community missions of the crew of Blackwater Pirates. Locations to get your ducks is at blackwaterpirates.com. Celebrate America Friday night at the Community Maritime Park Amphitheater with the Pensacola Symphony beginning at 7:30, followed by the Pensacola 4th of July Fireworks Show over the bay. Get all the details at newsradio1620.com. Happy 4th of July.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson on News Radio 92.3, filling in for Andrew McKay as he is out of town. We were talking a little bit about road work going on I-110, resurfacing and some upgrades that they're doing there. Again, don't want to get anyone too excited. It is going to be nighttime work Sunday through Thursday starting here this month from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. So, again, I was also mentioning that, you know, there's a lot of state roads in town and they're doing a lot of work on these roads and FDOT. You can go on their website, go to the Google machine, type in FDOT or Florida Department of Transportation, and you can sign up for their emails and they will send you updates ahead of time of when they're doing work and when roads may be closed and all that good stuff, because there is a lot going on. But before we kind of jump to the next segment, we want to go to David Wayne in the newsroom.
Thank you very much, Walker, and good morning. Authorities in Texas investigating the death of a 9-year-old girl whose mother reportedly left her in a hot car yesterday. Deputies say they arrived at the USG Corporation in Galena Park, Texas. The girl, the mother apparently had gone to work at 6 in the morning and left the girl in her vehicle while she was at work, found her unresponsive that afternoon. Fire crews continuing to keep an eye out on hot spots after a warehouse full of fireworks exploded. That happened in Northern California early on Tuesday evening. It was in the town of Esparto, about 40 miles north of Sacramento. Apparently it sent plumes of smoke billowing 15,000 feet into the air. The explosion also caused a small wildfire. And you probably saw all the coverage yesterday, President Trump touring Alligator Alcatraz. Well, I guess he liked it, Walker. He's now calling to reopen the original Alcatraz on San Francisco's Bay. He posted on social media, quote, "We're going to look into renovating and rebuilding the famous Alcatraz prison surrounded by sharks."
So there All you right, go. There we go.
You got the alligator Alcatraz, the shark Alcatraz.
We're just we're covered from coast to coast. Sea to surrounding sea, I guess. I was in San Francisco earlier this year with my dad, and we went and did the tour of Alcatraz, and then I think it was shortly after that the news broke that Trump had asked the National Park Service to look into reopening Alcatraz. I thought, well, I guess it was good that we went when we went. So anyways, we'll see what unfolds there. But this, again, this is Walker Wilson on News Radio 92.3 filling in for Andrew McKay here on July 2nd. I'll also be here tomorrow, July 3rd, or 4th of July Eve, as you may call it. Want you to text into the show. You can text in using 850-437-1620. And we've got some interviews coming up, so you can stop listening to me blabber on for a while as we move into the next 2 hours of the show here, kind of segueing off of the interstate road work that will be done on I-110 and again on some of these state roads around town. Is downtown, we've been preparing for a while and really trying to get ready for this new Palafox revitalization project that the mayor is bringing forward that is going to, take Palafox from Garden to Main Street and put in some incredible improvements. If you'll recall, it's been probably now, 10 years ago that Florida Power and Light at that time came in and did some work in improving the fiber network down there for their infrastructure and what they needed to operate. And so they had torn up the road, gone in and put new fiber in. This project went for several years. They had made a commitment to the city of Pensacola, and at that time, Mayor Ashton Hayward, that they would come in and repave the road. Within Grover Robinson got elected mayor, they kept that commitment with him, and about the time that Mayor Reeves got elected, and he won early in that primary 3 years ago, and kind of got his foot in the door early that August, and I guess, what was that, 2022? This project was about to start, and he asked Mayor Robinson, hey, can we hold off and let me kind of get my feet wet here and see, are there other funds that we can utilize at the city to really enhance this project other than just coming in and putting new asphalt down over Palafox? And so he's worked with Jerry Pate Design Company to come out with some plans that are going to kind of bring those curb lines in, making the sidewalk a little bit bigger in downtown Pensacola, adding somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 trees to the sidewalks, which is also going to, this work is also going to give us a lot more impervious surface. So, you know, that when you're downtown and it rains really heavy, that rain collects and it doesn't really have anywhere to go. This is going to increase the impervious surface by, I think, almost four times of what it is now, which is going to be extremely helpful in these heavy rains, which we've been seeing some of that rain here this week. And so this is going to be a multi-million dollar project. We're trying to get ready for it. We're working with the businesses, make sure they're ready for it, and so that we can all kind of get through that portion of construction that'll be going on in downtown probably, early 2026 January timeframe, maybe get through the holidays and all that good stuff so people can come down and shop for Christmas still, since that is such a big time in downtown Pensacola. Certainly we'll want to have the Christmas lights up still. We start talking to our Christmas light vendor in about 2 weeks to get ready for the plan to put Christmas lights up, which is always insane to me that it's 95 degrees outside and we're talking about Christmas lights. But PJ, let's get traffic on the fives and let people know what's going on out there.
Still just working that earlier vehicle crash, Pensacola Boulevard at Diamond Dairy Road. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right. And so, again, you know, this project, Florida Power and Light, got sold to – or no, it is Florida Power and Light. It was Gulf Power. Sorry. They came in and did the fiber work. Now they're FPL. And so this has kind of gotten delayed. But they gave the city, I think, somewhere around $3 million for this project. The city is working to, you know, utilize some CRA funds and some other road funds that they've got to put with that $3 million that are going to enhance this project. And really, again, if you haven't looked at the plan on the city's website, you can, again, go to the Google machine, just type in New Palafox, Pensacola. It'll pop up. The city's got a dedicated website about what that project's going to do and look like, and they're going to put in a lot of new bricks, especially at the intersections. They're going to put in midsection crosswalks on every single block that are going to actually be a speed table, so just not a heavy-duty speed bump, but just kind of a small speed table that'll act as the crosswalk, and it'll also be the same level as the sidewalk, so if you're in a wheelchair or you struggle to walk around downtown, it's going to be the same level, so you'll just walk straight across and not have to go down the ramp onto the road to get across the street, which will be extremely nice as well. And so, you know, portions of the street on Palafox will be gated off for construction, obviously, but the sidewalks are still going to be open. All the businesses are going to be open. DIB, we're working to come up with some plans to really incentivize folks to still come down and shop and not be alarmed that there's some construction going on. We still want you to come down. We want you to have lunch on Saturday, get your brunch at Carmen's or Wine Bar, to go down to Rustadero and Indigo or Gray, Don Allen's and do some shopping. And then, you know, maybe catch a soccer game or the Super Bowl at 200 South or Intermissions, Wild Greg's Seville. And so we're still going to be going and blowing downtown and making sure that you have a good time while you're down there, that you get to enjoy your downtown. And then, you know, the mayor has said when this construction project is done that he's committed to having a giant celebration, if you will, when it's all said and done, so we can all enjoy it. And it's going to be an incredibly impressive project. And I think just, you know, the mayor's willingness to try and get it right and put some extra funding in there to improve what was going to be done other than just resurfacing and asphalting the road and calling it a day, which would have looked nice, right? Would have been a nice improvement. But what can we do to really amp that up? Because when else are we going to have an opportunity like this to improve Palafox, and we've got this commitment from Florida Power and Light to contribute so much money towards a project like this. So, you know, we'll have more trees on the sidewalk. Those sidewalks are getting expanded, so they'll be a little wider. We've already got some trees that are down there and some planters with flowers and everything. So, again, you know, if you want to check out the project, see what it's going to look like, go on the Google machine, type in New Palafox, Pensacola. They've got the plans on there. You can see what the images look like and what kind of new things may be coming with that project. And again, there'll be a lot of updates coming this fall when there's a kind of a more of a plan, and the city starts getting bids back from contractors to do that work, and we know a little bit more about the project. So we will be back after these commercials. We've got Samantha Breedlove, the owner of Rusted Arrow Mercantile in downtown Pensacola, coming on the air and joining us.